You can repeat that invocation mantra. Om Aapyayantu Mamangani. Vak pranash chakshushrotra matho balam indriyani cha sarvani. Sarvam brahmopanishadam. Maham brahmanirakuryam. Mama brahmanirakarot. Anirakaranamastvanirakaranam me astu. Tadatmani nirateya upanishat sudharmaha. Te mai santu, te mai santu. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Now, chant from chapter 2. This is page 110. Page 110. No, we missed out one verse. Where is that verse? Chapter 2. No, that will be page 97. Yadi manyase suvedeti. Dabhramme vapi. Nunam tvam vetha. Brahmano rupam. Yadasya tvam yadasya deveshvatanu. Mimamsyameva. Te manye viditam. And then 110 next. Naham manye suvedeti. Nona vedeti vedacha. Yo nastad vedatad veda. Nona vedeti vedacha. Yasya matam tasya matam. Matam yasya na vedasaha. Avignatam vijanatam. Vignatam avijanatam. Pratibodha viditam matam. Did I leave out one? Okay. I left out one. No. Amritatvam hi vindate. Atmana vindate viryam. Vidyaya vindate mritam. Iha ched avedita. Avedi. The datha. Iha chet. Avedi datha. Satyamasti. Nachet. Iha vedin mahati vinashtihi. Bhuteshu bhuteshu. Vichitya dhiraha. Pretyasma lokadamrita bhavanti. This is where we are. This is where we reached. Ihachit avedit atha. Avedit atha satyamasti. Means if the person comes to know this truth, reality. Here, iha means here, now in this lifetime. That is the meaning of iha. If he comes to know its reality, now in this lifetime, then satyam asti, then life has become fulfilled. then the purpose of our existence has borne fruit. If we come to know this reality here in this lifetime, this is a very simple statement, but the implications are very far-reaching. It means to say, but you don't have to read the other part of the verse to know the implication. The other part is telling the implication only. But see, if the first part says, in this lifetime, if we have come to know the truth, our life has borne fruit, then what is the implication? If we have not come to know the truth, Mahati Vinashti means our whole life has gone. Great destruction, in other words, he says. I have just wasted one more lifetime. But you should not get depressed if you see, when you read that also. Don't feel too bad. Because we have had countless lifetimes. And one more is... Don't feel anything, you know. This is just a simple matter for all of us to think about. Huh? What is the matter here? What is involved? It is just a matter of asking ourselves the question. Do I want to go through this thing once more? If your answer is yes, well, you're okay, you're welcome. If your answer is no, then we should make a very strong, concerted effort to make sure that we come out from this. Now, usually people do not make this strong, concerted effort because we are very good at forgetting. Human beings forget so fast, I tell you. And things that he is supposed to remember, he doesn't. And things that he is not supposed to remember, those only he remembers. It's a peculiar being, I tell you. See, we forget all the difficulties and sorrows and all things that we had to go through as children growing up and hardship, this, that, and you go to school for the first time, you're scared, nervous, this, that. You don't want to go also. And you're making every excuse. Huh? Suddenly you get up in the morning, I have a tummy ache. Because you don't want to go to school. Then when they pick up that stick, you have to go. The tummy ache goes away immediately. You go to the schools, and other children catch you and throw you there. This thing, that thing, all sorts of things. Huh? Now, in so many schools, that bullying is there. They bully you, all sorts of things. And one pain, one disease after the next. Don't talk when you are a baby, you know. Earache, something paining, gripe. What is that, gripe? Huh. Yes. And poor fellow, he cannot say anything. Oh, you wah. He cannot say a thing. He was suffering from birth till death. Now I heard in some cemeteries in these big cities, they don't have any more space to put these bodies like this. So now they're selling space like that. So even after death, you cannot rest in peace. They say he rests in peace, na? So the one pain after the, even after death, just, you know. So the idea is, the human being, he forgets all of these things. So he doesn't pay attention. Look, I really do not want to go through this whole thing once more, you know. Let me come out. And one fellow went to that doctor and he said, "Doctor, I have a very peculiar problem. I'm forgetting everything." He said, "Really? What is your age?" He said, "I am only 40. He said, "How long you have been having this problem?" He said, "What problem?" He forgot that also. So we are very good at forgetting all these sorrows and pain and all things that we have. That also might have its own good, what do you call, blessing. It might be a blessing in disguise, huh? That we have forgotten all this pain and all that sort of thing. But it also now causes us to perpetuate our existence in this samsara. We never come out. So, if the person has realized this reality, this God, merged with his true self in this lifetime, satyamasti, life has borne fruit, really, it has served its purpose. That is satyamasti. life has served its purpose. If we have not Mahati Vinashti, great destruction. Great destruction means, well, again, I fall back into sansar once more and start the whole journey. And as long as we are in samsar, we'll be tossed on two sides of the soccer field like a ball from joy to sorrow. And you know, always one team will be stronger. Huh? So the ball will go near that goalpost and never seem to come back this side. And you want it to come back this side. Means you, some sorrow will strike in life and you will be stuck in that sorrow. And no matter how much you try to bring it back here, even if you bring it for a little while, it goes back there. Welcome to samsara. The person who, bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya thiraha, those wise ones who sees this reality as all pervasive, existing in all beings, existing everywhere in all beings equally. Samoham sarvabhuteshu, Bhagavan Shri Krishna says he is equally present in all beings. So the one who can see that, or in so many nice phrases that in Bhagavad Gita also you would have seen, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Everything is Vasudev. Tulsidas ji writes, Siya Ram mai sab jag jani. All this is Ram. The one who comes to see that, that wise one, Pretyasma loka damrita bhavanti. He becomes immortal. So this is the goal. If that goal is not reached in this lifetime, well, Mahati Vinashti, great destruction, means I have utilized one more lifetime and nothing has happened. I mean, I am not progressing at all. The verse is given so that we will make a very strong effort to find this reality, to realize ourselves. And all the different types of... Do you know? Sadhanas are so wonderful. See, many people like to engage in different types of sadhanas. Now, I've done this for such a long time, and I've done that for such a long time, and I've done the other things for such a long time. And we keep changing sadhanas, and we think that I'm graduating from this to that to the other thing, right? But the rishis have also told a very important idea with regard to sadhana. If you notice, in India, it is said people who do classical music, you know, or those who do classical dance, or whichever of art form they engage in, it is said that even through that art form, the person can attain realization. And that is true for every type of sadhana also. Suppose I am very good at doing japa. If that japa is done properly, I do not need any other type of sadhana. This person, music can take him to God. Dance can take the person to God. A dancer once told me how nicely. He said, Swamiji, she's a very famous classical dancer. She has a big dance school and everything. She said, Swamiji, when you sit down and you speak about Lord Krishna from Bhagavatam, or you speak about Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and what he's saying, you could never come even close to what we do in dance. I said, why? What do you mean? She said, you only speak about Lord Krishna. When I dance, I become Krishna. It true or not? So with that art form, if it is done properly, that art form is enough. For any one sadhana you take and you do that. See, one man was digging outside there for water, you know. He's digging a well. He dug 10 feet. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa tells this story. He dug 10 feet, there was no water. So he left that spot and went a little distance there, and he dug another 10 feet, then there was no water. He kept going from place to place, digging 10 feet, and he found no water. And some Mahatma was passing. He said, "Arey bhai, 10 places you dug 10 feet, no water. If in one place you had dug 100 feet, you surely would have gotten water." It means to say, you take any one sadhana, one word from Gita, Bhagavad Gita, kinchidatita, svalpamapyasya dharmasya, little bit of this dharma we study deep, we go deep into this thing. It is enough. So, when it says to use this lifetime to come out, don't think that you have to engage in any sort of big, you have to become some kind of big person, you know, with a long beard, mala and everything. You sit down, only if I renounce my family, I renounce the world and I sit in some cave, then only I will reach there and all that. Just whatever little sadhana you're doing right now, just do that thing well. That is all. Like you're digging a deep well. Now, that brings us to the end of that section. The rishi realizes that there are so many different types of students in the world, no? And some students will get it, and some students will not get it. There are different calibers of students. You will see even among your own children that the texture of their intellect will be so different. You explain something to the children in this way, only one will get it. You explain in some other way, another one will get it. All human beings operate differently, we think differently, we understand differently, and so on. So the rishi, after having taught this philosophy in such esoteric language, thought that maybe some of the students may not get it. So better thing, let me tell a story. So the same philosophical ideas are now given through a story. And you know, the rishis were very good at stories. They could convey anything through a story. This tradition of story is very strong in India. So now see, from 134, he tells a very nice story. Listen to this thing. Brahma Hadevebhyo Vijigye Tasyah Brahmano Vijaye Deva Amahiyanta Ta Ekshanta Asmakamevayam Vijayah Asmakamevayam Mahimeti. Well, Brahma Hadevebhyaha Vijigye. It is said at once, Gurudev's translation, all these words of it is said at once and all that, that Gurudev adds to make the whole thing free-flowing. From the Sanskrit word, you will not see all of these words there, but there's a very strong element of tradition that is essential in reading our scriptures. If one guru is not there to tell like this, and then this student tells his disciples and goes down, then there are some things which we'll miss out. So some of the words are supplied by the tradition. So what is the story? Once Brahman, God, reality, he won a battle for the Devas. The Devas were trying, it doesn't say what, the Devas were trying to acquire something, and the reality, God himself, now see, it's many questions will arise because God is said to be Akarta, and here Brahman word is used, Brahma, reality. And he acquired or achieved that goal for the Devas. But the Devas, Asmakamevayam Mahimeti, because of our Mahima, our greatness, this thing was achieved. Asmakamevayam Vijayaha, because of our effort, we gain this victory. The Devas started thinking. This is connected to what I was telling on one of the previous days, that really speaking, the whole universe is controlled by a Tulsidasi, right, throughout his Ramayana. By that reality, the script for this universe and the director who is making everything follow the script is certainly not any one of us, isn't it? So anybody here directing the show? And see, you can even think from the very basic level. You were born in one in a particular place, and now you have found yourself in another place, wherever, right? You wrote that script? Did you have an interview with God? Prabhu, I want to be born in Madras. Because I love idli. You never had any interview with God and told what your likes and dislikes and everything. He wrote the script. And you... So really what is going on? Remember I said that if we have any feeling that we have freedom of choice, that feeling itself is one of the countless number of delusions which we all have. So it's just a delusion. We feel like this. But it's really not true. So you use whatever delusion you have to come out of the delusion. So you use that freedom of choice wisely, in other words, to come out of that whole thing. So here, it is that God himself who has written the script and who is directing the whole show. So if there's anything which we achieve in our life, it is only because he willed or he wished. And that's how the whole Upanishad starts. Keneshitam patati prishitam manaha. By whose wish or will does... do the senses fall alight upon their objects or whatever it is, right? Or come upon their objects, function. So the answer is by his wish only that everything is going on. So here are now the devtas. The idea is that even the devtas do not know this. Though they may be exalted beings living in some other world and all, They thought, oh, we were the ones who achieved it. So what happens there in our own personal case now is the individual jiva, he goes on imputing on himself doership and responsibility. Means I am the one who did it. I am the one who is responsible for it. And then many people feel also if I was not there, it would not have been achieved. Always remember, if we were not there, this whole world will still go on. We should not feel that. Everybody feels that they belong to the solar dynasty. You know what is solar dynasty? He feels that he belongs to the solar dynasty. Why? Because the whole world revolves around him. Please remember, if I'm not there, this whole world will go on all the same. Matter of fact, it might go on better. So, we should not be feeling that we are responsible for anything in this world. Now, that don't take that on the other extreme now and let your intellect come up with some other false arguments. Huh? People say, Swamiji, in that case, I could sit down and do nothing. Well, the reply to that also is, try. Try, you know, see, I say, okay, if that is what you want, do it, but you have to do it properly. You want to sit down and do nothing? We say, okay. Try and sit down and do. That means don't get up to eat also. Eh? But the moment you get up to do one thing, then you have to do all the other things. So if you want to sit down and do nothing, you say, okay. You will not be able to do it. You'll not be able to sit down and do nothing. So then if you're going to eat, then now you get, if you're going to take something from the world now, food. Now you make your contribution to the world to get the food. And you don't get food so easily. So you have to do. So don't say, okay, Upanishad is telling that God is responsible for everything. Therefore, I have to do nothing. What you have to see, it's a very simple thing. There's a difference between action and understanding. Nah? There are two different things. One is, I do this action with understanding A, or I do this action with understanding B. Right now, we are doing it with the understanding that I am the prime mover. I am the one who is moving things. So that we call in scripture as wrong understanding. So you just have to change that understanding. This action is going on via this BMI. The BMI is only the instrument for the action to take effect. That is called as right understanding. You see? So right understanding should accompany the action. That is all. So the devas also did not know this thing. So they thought, oh ho. When that happens, the ego builds. Because the ego goes on thinking, I accomplished this last time. Now I have to accomplish this. In 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Sri Krishna talks about this. This is achieve. Now I have to achieve that. Now I have to achieve the other thing. Right? So each time some wrong understanding accompanies the acquisition, the ego builds. And the ego gets stronger and stronger, and he keeps on thinking. And at some point, he feels that he's indispensable. That if he's not there, nothing will happen. Well, Brahman, or God, realized the idea is, in the structure of the universe, there are always things, or there are things built in to make us realize that really we are dispensable. Things will go on all the same without us. So there are things built into the universe. Now, it means there are signs, hints in the universe. It is true also that we don't pay attention to the hints, but they are there. So now, that is what is being alluded to in the next verse. See. Tadhaisham vijagnyau tebhyoh pradur babhuva tanna vyajanata kimidam yakshamiti. Well, this Bhagavan means Brahman, knowing their, see, what is being used is Brahman, right? Brahman knowing their vanity, knowing that they became proud, oh, we achieved this, we did this, we are responsible for this. Knowing that, Brahman just waved his wand, a la peanut butter sandwich, a la kazam, boom, and he appeared there as a light. Means he came in front of all the devatas who were having all this pride in their heart. We did this, we did this, it is our greatness, we achieved this victory and this and that. He appeared there, in other words. Another big ball of light, fire, whatever, bright, effulgent being, yaksha. They call it yaksha, an effulgent being. So, don't think that suddenly Brahman has become a karta, he is a doer and all that kind of thing. What you can understand is, every instance, and this is a very important thing, if you look clearly, you'll see. Every instance, when the ego fattens itself, when the ego assumes some position of importance or any such thing, right next to that, accompanying it, will always be a sign to remind us that it is not so. But what we do with the sign, we say, you don't pay attention to that sign. But there will be something. Remember I told you on one of the previous days that you cannot have a coin with only one side. You cannot have a positive without a negative. Everything in the universe comes in pairs. So wherever there is a feeling of achievement, there will be a sign right there to show you or to tell you that really it was not you who achieved that thing. But we are very good at ignoring that sign. So immediately, Brahman now appeared there, meaning to say that when the devatas had this feeling that they achieved it, Brahman would have put a sign for them to. We have to look in our life. No, in other words, what I mean to say is, you don't have this feeling of I did, and then wait for Brahman to come and tell you. You have to just look carefully. Just after you have that feeling, something will be there to remind you that you don't have, it is really not, yes, your achievement. I'll give you a nice example. See, this is a true thing. Yeah? When we finished all the work at Chinmaya Ashram, Trinidad, this is when the ashram was about to be inaugurated. Guruji was coming in a day or so, getting everything ready to inaugurate the ashram. all means our Chinmay Mission president, executive members, everybody, we were all there. And we're standing from the front looking. And all the workers who were working so feverishly, you know, almost 24 hours per day, everybody was looking now to see if everything looks fine. And in everybody's heart also, there was so much of pride because this is our achievement. You know that moment, what happened? A stray dog, some stray dog from somewhere, he came from somewhere, came inside the ashram. We are outside at the front looking. He came on inside, and then all of us started walking inside. He started barking at us and chasing us out. What a nice reminder, no? Such a wonderful reminder. Just at that moment, when we were looking, everybody so proud. Oh, what kya baat, kitna sundar ashram hai. He barks and he means to say, look, you are thinking this is your ashram, you know. You did this and you did this. Yeah. Stray dog from nowhere. Very good remind. That's what I'm telling you. Just look. There will be some sign right there, always waiting to remind you. It is not yours. You never did it, actually. If Bhagwan wants an ashram to be there, and you were not there, you think ashram will not come? So Bhagwan, in his infinite strength and power and majesty and mahima, in his infinite universe, he cannot find somebody to put ashram there. He'll find. So this ego has to be reminded of this every moment. Otherwise, ego goes on building. So Brahman appeared there now. Just like in our life, he will appear as some sign. We have to look for that. That is the idea. Huh? Then, when he appeared, there some big light. So you know what happened? All the devatas saw this. Who is this? So now see. Te agnim abhruvan. Jata veda etad. Vijanihi. Kim etad yakshamiti. Tatheti. Okay. So then they all thought, we don't know who this is, but the best thing is to inquire. Right? So when you don't know something, inquire. So they told to Agni, who is, he's also one of the devatas. They call Agni. They deputed Agni. He's a PI. They made him into PI. You go, private investigator. You go there and see. Who is this yaksha? Find out. So Agni said, okay, I'll go. Tathaiti, as you said, I will go do it. Then, next verse. See. Tadabhya dravat. Tamabhya vadat. Kositi. Agnirva. Ahamasmiti. Abravit. Jata Vedava. Ahamasmiti. Agni goes there quickly and he confronts this yaksha, this big mass of light. The mass of light asked to Agni, Kositi, who are you? He said, oh, I am Agni. Really? Whoa. Then, in next verse, he starts asking, instead of Agni, go to ask him now. He is asking Agni. Agni is gone to inquire. But before Agni could ask, you know, the spirit or the yaksha asked Agni. And he also tells very, Jata Veda, Aham Asmiti. My name is Jata Veda, the omniscient. I am Agni. See, this is a very interesting thing also. Everybody likes to talk about himself. Eh? Remember I was telling you. So Agni answers also with a lot of zest. I am Agni. And he tells the second name, Jata Veda also. So then this is another thing. See, when Bhagwan, when the human being is asked a question about himself, and he answers. He loves if the person asks another one, you know, because he wants to tell. Yes. Please see how the ego works like this. He always wants to tell about himself. So if he asks a second question, he's glad. Yaksha asks a second question, Agni is glad to answer. As a matter of fact, sometimes he answers even more than what is asked. He already told his name is Agni, then he has to say also Jataveda. Jataveda means one who he knows everything. He uses the name also to show that he knows everything. He's omniscient. So then now the Yaksha also. In other words, when we find ourselves in one delusion, please see the structure of the universe. Some other mechanism is always waiting to get us into second delusion. One has already caught us, but there's something right there waiting to get us into second delusion, second problem, second trouble. So the human being has to be so aware. So now the Yaksha again asked, now this adorable spirit is translated by Gurudev. See. Tasmigam stvaikim viryamiti apidagam sarvam daheyam yadidam prithivyamiti. So that Yaksha asked, Kositi, who are you? You know, I am Agni. Really? Don't know what. So what do you do? You know, what power resides in you? You are called as Agni. Na? What do you do? Agni says, what I do? I burn things. I can burn everything that is on this earth. Means my power is so much. I am so powerful. It means he's talking about himself now. I can burn everything to ashes. Like nothing. Anything that exists on this earth, I can just burn it to ashes like nothing. So that Yaksha said, really? So great you are? He said, yes. So then what? Tasmai trinam nidhavetat jaheti tar upapreyaya sarvajavena tannashashakadagdhum satat eva nivavrite naitadashakam vignyatum yadetat yakshamiti. So that Yaksha, this Brahman now, who has appeared as that Yaksha, what just now Agni was just boasting, you know, I can burn everything on this earth to ashes. So that the Yaksha took a blade of grass and he put it in front of him. Yeah. That would dry blade of grass. He said, okay, now burn this thing. And Charupa Preyaya Sarva Javena, with all his power, might, and everything, he tried to burn this blade of grass. He's Agni. And with all his might, he tried to burn a little blade of grass. I tell you, if you take a magnifying glass and the sun, and you put it on that blade of grass, it will burn. But Agni, the fire god himself, could not burn a blade of grass. What a strong message for this ego, which feels that he is responsible for things in this world. The idea is, this Brahman, who is the real power behind Agni, Agni also did not realize. And he's thinking, I can burn anything in this world. But Brahman is teaching a wonderful lesson there. That, oh, my dear, you think that you are the power behind your own achievement, but there is something beyond you which you do not understand. And so Agni comes back. Nivavrite means he returns to all his devatas. And he does not tell anything about the story which happened. He tells, I could not find out who that is. This is the report when he comes back. That's PI. He comes back with his report. No, I could not find out. He did not tell, I could not burn a blade of grass. Because one more thing, we only like to talk about our strengths and our achievements. We don't like to talk about our failures and, you see? Or when he became humiliated, but he did not tell anything to make them feel that he was humiliated or anything. He tells nicely, I could not find out. Maybe you all could send somebody else. So, na etadashakam vignyatum. I could not know yadetat yakshamiti, who this yaksha was. He comes back and reports to Indra and Vayu and all of them. No. Agni failed. What we have to keep reminding ourselves of is there seems to be in the universe a master controller, a prime mover, a director of this universe, one who writes the script, and who sees to it that the script unfolds in a certain way, and through me, that thing is being done. But really, I cannot take credit for anything. That is the idea. In doing this, what happens? The ego, which is really the facade between ourselves and reality, that ego gets dissipated. That ego gets thinned out. It wanes. And when that ego wanes, there's bright light of Brahman shining. Right now, the ego is blocking. That is the cloud, which is blocking the sun. And the more we take onto that ego responsibility for things in this universe, the more we fatten and thicken that cloud. And the more we realize that there is a master plan being put into effect. And I am just the instrument through which that plan gets implemented and executed. The more that ego goes away. This is the idea. So the same sort of thing is being taught in through the story now. Atha vayum abhruvan. Vayave tad vijanihi kimetad yakshamiti tatheti. Okay, Agni failed. Maybe he's not in the mood. He was not in the mood because he did not tell why he failed. Maybe he was not in the mood, they thought. Maybe he was not in the mood to find out, you know. Let us send Vayu. So they told to Vayu, you please go and find out who this Yaksha is now. Tadabhya dravat tamabhya vadat kositi vayurva ahamasmiti abravit matarishvava ahamasmiti. Well, this Yaksha asked the very same question. Kositi, who are you? Vayu went there quickly. So the Yaksha asked, who are you? He said, I am Vayu. Matarishva also he gives one of his other names. Matarishva means he who moves over the sky, moves over the space, you know. So he said, I am Matarishva. I am Vayu. Oh. Tasmigams twai. Kim viryamiti apidagam sarvamadadiya yadidam prithivyamiti. I am, he asked, so what power resides in you? He said, well, I am Vayu, you know, I can blow away anything. And we all know the force of these both natural naturally occurring forces. We know their power, na? See, wind or fire. How great and how powerful they are. He said, so really? He says, I can blow away anything on this earth. Same like Agni was telling, I can burn anything in this earth. Well, again, tasmai trinam निदधावेतद्
आदत्स्वेति
तदुपप्रेयाय
सर्वजवेन
तन्न शशाका दातुम् सतत एव निववृते नैतदशकं विज्ञातुम् यदेतत् यक्षमिति. Same treatment. What is that? He puts a blade of grass. Oh, okay, you can blow anything away. You can blow away this whole universe. So blow this blade of grass. Let us see. So Sarva Javena, with all his strength, he blew and blew and blew. He huffed and puffed like the wolf. Big bad wolf. Nothing happened. He could not blow even a blade of grass. Then he also came back and said, I could not find out. He did not consult with Agni. He said also, I could not find out who this Yaksha is. So Indra started wondering, my two strongest deputies, Agni and Vayu, such two great force in the universe, they also could not find out who this Yaksha is. Then all the gods also were thinking, if Agni and Vayu cannot find out, then we seem to be in some trouble. Who is this great Yaksham?
Atendram
Abruvan
Maghavan
Etad
Vijanahi
Kim Etad Yakshamiti
Tatheti
Tadabhyadravat
Tasmat
Tirodathe.
Then
they all said to Indra,
Atha
Indram
Abruvan.
They said to Indra, now
look,
Vayu and Agni,
who are
such powerful beings,
they
could not find out.
Rather than
any one of us,
any other
person go now
and
embarrass
ourselves,
better
you yourself
go.
Indra
means he is
the king
of all of
them.
Better
you yourself
go there
and
find out
who this
Yaksha
is.
So Indra
also,
Tadabhya
Dravat,
he goes
there,
he hastens
to
that spot,
and
he
thinks,
okay.
Indra
also is
thinking,
okay,
I
will find
out,
because
these fellows
seem to be
ineffectual.
Now
let me
go find out.
The moment
he reaches
there,
the Yaksha disappears.
So,
and
the Rishi
tells,
in
its place,
wherever
the Yaksha
was standing,
see,
there
appeared
somebody
there.
See in
the next verse
now.
Satasmineva
Akashe
Striyamajagama
Bahushobhamanam
Bahushobhamanam
Umagam
Hemavatim
Tagam
Hovacha
Kimetad
Yakshamiti.
In
the place
of the Yaksha,
wherever
the Yaksha
was standing,
that
effulgent
light,
in
that place
now,
was
standing
there,
who?
Uma.
Uma
means
consort
of
Parvati.
I mean,
consort
of Shiva,
Parvati.
So
she was
standing
there.
So
then
he
asked
to her.
You know,
this is
also
a very
strong indication
of
a
most
wonderful point
in
our
scriptures.
What is
that?
That's
why,
you see, Kabir
Daji
has written,
Guru
Govind
dono
khade
kaako
lagum
pai.
Guru
and
Govind
are both
standing
there.
Whose
feet
you
will
prostrate
to
first?
To
Guru's
feet.
Because
it
is Guru
who
will
tell
you
whether
that
is Govind
or not.
Because
we
don't
know
who
it is.
For
example,
in
Ramayana,
it
is
said
in some
of the
Ramayans
you
will read,
Ravana
even took the form of Ram and came in front of Sita. You remember he was trying to convince Sita. So in his attempt to convince her, he even took the form of Ram. Now see, if we see Ram's form in front of us, quickly we will be convinced that this is the Lord. And then we could be totally wrong. It could be Ravan looking as Ram, appearing as Ram. So if we do not have a guru to tell this is really Ravan or this is really Ram, it means to say that it is also an endorsement of this very, very important point in the scriptures, and that is we all need some guru in this world. So the idea is, if Indra had gone directly to God, directly to Brahman to try to find out, he will not be able to find out. So Uma comes there in its place, and now he is asking Uma, that who is this yaksha? He asks directly to Uma, Kim yakshamiti? Kimidam? Kim etad yakshamiti? Tagam hovacha. Indra asked to Uma, who was that yaksha who was standing there? So we need some person went to Gurudev and they asked him, Gurudev, why do I need to a guru like you? You know, means you have so many tapes and books and this and that, and there are so many in the market also. I could go buy DVDs and look at them. I could read books. Why do I need a guru like you? Gurudev said, why didn't you ask that to the book? It means to say, really, the human being needs somebody in this. That's why I see in Bhagavatam and in Tulsi Ramayana also, both the authors, they have put a nice phrase characterizing the samsara. Traditionally, the samsara is characterized as bhavasagar. You have heard that word? Bhavasagar. It's an ocean. Sagar is given there. So, it appears as though Ved Vyasji did not like that word, and so Tulsidasji also followed suit. Bhavasagar. You know, in both places you will see Bhava Kupa. Kupa. Kupa means a well. So, the Kupa word is chosen to demonstrate the necessity of a guru. Someone to point, someone to show, someone to direct, a mentor, someone to teach. How? If you fall into the ocean and you can float, you may come out, or you can swim. Or the wave may just throw you out. But when you fall into a well, if there is not somebody to pull you out, well, float or swim or whatever you can do, you will not. So they characterize the samsara as bhava kupa, meaning to say that without help of somebody else, we could never come out. So, I remember a nice story of a police officer walking in the dark. And from some distance in the dark, he heard somebody say, help, help, help. So he went there and he realized somebody had fallen in a well. And they were saying, help, help, help from below. So dark as it was, he quickly went and looked for a rope and sent it down. And the person just held the rope and he pulled out that fellow. When he came up, he realized that was the police sergeant, you know. He let the rope go and... You don't need that type of guru, you know, who will, after pulling you out, then let you. You need somebody who will actually take us. But the idea with the well, Bhava Kupa, is if that guru is not there to tell or to guide, we will never come out. So now he asked that Uma. Now Uma will tell who this yaksha is. But Uma will tell at 9:45. We will see this now.